This is URN.
You've been on tour for a little while now.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, how is it going so far?
Yeah, really cool. What have we done? We've done two dates so far. So we've done Exeter and Southampton.
Uh-huh.
And Exeter was crazy because we nearly got like snowed in. We nearly didn't make it to the gig. And then 80 people didn't make it because the snow was... It was so bad, like really, really bad snow. Like people on the roads like crashing everywhere and cars abandoned on streets and stuff like that. So... Yeah, but it was still awesome.
Like, oh, that's
like the
so
120
good.
People that turned up went absolutely ham.
Yeah, well, that's quality, not quantity, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's kind of covers the next question. But I was going to ask, what's your tour highlight so far and your tour lowlight?
Well, it's only 2 days, so I don't know. The drive today was a bit difficult because I was a bit. I went out with my missus yesterday and ended up going to a pub for like one beer, but I had like not one beer, I had several. So I was a bit like quiet in the van today. So yeah, I didn't really say anything for like 2.5 hours.
Very quiet drive. So would that be the low light so far?
I guess
far?
So, yeah.
But the actual performing's been great.
Yeah, the actual gigs have been amazing. Yeah, Southampton was really cool as well. And yeah, excited for tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be wicked.
Because you're doing two gigs today, aren't you?
Really, technically, I'm doing like a radio thing in a few hours and then I've got another open mic thing and then tonight I'm doing a gig as well.
I've been doing a little bit of research and I've seen that you used to live in a house with 12 other musicians.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that's quite similar to living in a student house.
Yeah, well, it essentially was.
And obviously there's a lot of grievances that come with living in a student house, whether that's washing up or bathroom cleaning.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask, what was your biggest grievance?
Well, the boiler broke there for like, I'm going to say like a month in October, and it was so cold. I had to take cold showers for like a month. It just get used to it. It was brutal.
That definitely sounds like a student house.
It was brutal, yeah. It was really bad, yeah.
But living with 12 other musicians, I'm guessing that was quite inspiring.
Yeah, it was amazing. So good. I mean, it wasn't always 12. It was like anywhere between kind of like 7 and 12, I guess. Well, 7 and 15 more like, actually. There was always people crashing around on the sofas and just... It was such a wicked house and it was quite big. We had like a massive garden and it was detached, which is so rare in London to get a detached house. So we had like a big open space with like a rehearsal kind of room, I guess. And then just, I don't know, it was just wicked. We used to do loads of barbecues in the garden. One of the girls was from Brazil. And she used to cook fish on like these huge swords that she had. And like we'd just like roast them like with whatever wood was lying around in the garden. And oh, it was so cool.
That definitely sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was an amazing place to live, but very, very hectic.
Yeah, I can imagine that. That definitely sounds like a student house. I think a lot of our listeners will relate to that.
The dishwasher broke and that was just like the end of the world. Because can you imagine that many people, how many dishes I consume? Like we had to hide some dishes so that people would have to wash dishes to use them, you know what I mean? Because at some point somebody bought like 50 plates around and it, like from their mum's house or whatever that she was giving away and it just ended up that we just had the most amount of dishes we've ever seen just all piling up.
So your recommendation for anyone living in a student house would be hide people's plates and they have to wash them up.
Count how many people are in the house and add two extra plates to that and that's all you need. Because then you have to do the washing up to eat.
That's really good advice, to be fair. So obviously that must have been quite inspiring, rubbing off each other's talent, building ideas together.
Yeah.
But other than the people who lived in that house, who would you say your biggest musical inspirations are?
Do you mean like people who make music or like people that I've personally met in my life?
Both.
Oh, I don't know, my biggest hero is probably Paolo Nutini, because he did that first album and then the second album was Next Level and then he wrote a third album which is Next Level. And yeah, it takes 5 years to do it, but it's always so sick and he seems to just do his own thing and make good music for his fans and not for any like label people. That's how it feels to me anyway. I don't know what the reality of that is, but I just love his music and think he's got such a sick voice as well. So cool. And then I don't know, people that I've met in real life. I had two tutors in uni, one called Mark Valance and one called Jez Ashurst, who were both songwriters in the industry and just really pushed me to like do my thing and help me out getting into the industry and stuff, which was really cool. So yeah.
Oh, that's a nice range then.
Yeah, definitely.
From Paolo Nutini to uni tutors.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Really nice. So another thing, I've been looking at your Twitter.
Yes.
And I've seen that pizza seems to play a fairly big part in this. It features in your bio. I've seen a couple of GIFs.
Loves pizza.
A cat holding a
slice
of pizza.
I actually have a pizza, I'm sure, on my phone right now. But look, there's pizza just like there.
That is, I can verify there's actually a picture of pizza on his phone. So I thought you might be the best person to put the all-important question to. And that is, Does pineapple belong on a pizza?
I'm not going to tell people what they can and not like have on their pizzas. Do you know what I mean? If they want to put pineapple on a pizza, that's up to them. But me personally, I think it's a bit weird. I've eaten pineapple on pizza, but it's weird.
It's a big source of debate at the minute.
Yeah, because didn't Domino's bring out like some kind of chocolate pizza? I've not tried, but like a proper banging like Italian margarita that like costs like £9 from like a really good Italian place. It's always the best.
That would be your recommendation.
Yeah. Can't go wrong there.
So you've supported some big names. I've seen Jake Bugg and George Ezra. You supported both of those guys.
Yeah.
What is the biggest difference between supporting someone on a gig and having your own gig? And also, who was the best person to support? Like the best experience you've had?
So the difference is like when you're performing to someone else's audience, you've really got to capture their attention because they don't get. Like, I've gone and seen loads of bands and not even, like, gone, like, I'm ashamed to say it, but I've not even gone in for the support act or and talked through it or, do you know what I mean? Because you're there to see the main guy, so you've really got to try your best to, like, grab people's attention. But on your own tour, you know that people have come for you and your songs and it's just, it seems a lot easier to kind of make people happy and you don't have to try as hard. It feels more natural to me. But yeah, both are good and very, very good experiences. I think like playing for other people makes you a better artist. And then what was the other one?
The best person you've supported.
Oh, we supported The Script in America, and we did, what did we do? I always get this wrong. I think we did like 16 gigs across America, 23 dates, like days in America, and then we drove 6,000 miles across America in like 22 days. It was crazy. But really, really good. They're just lovely. They're so nice. We went out for beers with them. Like, they leave their dressing room door open. The gigs are amazing. Their crowd's really good. They give me like loads of nice advice. Like, yeah, they're super cool.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, they're great.
What would be your top tips for anybody trying to break out into the music scene?
Oh, just keep going at it. And social media seems to be like super, super, super important now, which has its advantages and its disadvantages. I wasn't hugely into like social media when I was just making music, but now that I'm kind of making it a career, like it's a very necessary tool. But yeah, just as I was about to f*** it all off because it was taking like a long time to kind of get through the industry door, I found my management and then a year later I had a record deal and a year after that I had a publishing deal. And yeah, so just keep going at it really. You just have to keep like, even when it seems shit, just keep washing it out and you'll get there eventually.
Oh, that's really good advice. Well, thank you very much.
No worries.
So tonight you're playing at Jam Cafe, is that right?
Yeah, I think we're going there for like 7 p.m. I'm going to do like one or two songs there. Just wanted to like, I don't know, go and check out the local kind of music scene. I've been at Nottingham like a few times, but I've not really done anything other than go to a venue, play at that venue, go to a hotel and then leave the next day. So
I guess you get a lot of that on tour, just turning up, playing and leaving.
I've been to like so many cities in America that I've just seen, you know, the venue, the bar near the venue and then the hotel.
Yeah, and then obviously your gig of Rescue Rooms tonight.
Yes, and then Rescue Rooms tonight, sold out gig, whole tour's like managed to sell out, which is sick. So yeah, I'm really excited.
Oh, that's amazing. I really hope it goes well for you.
Nice.
Thank you so much for letting me interview.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.